as a man's way of reaching out to God, as a woman's way to reach out to God. That's essentially the issue that I might need to think about. And I don't think that there's a straight answer. But that's what I'd like to read to you is as you may be aware, I learned a lot from this. Learning is email. Because there are discussion groups, that people write back and forth. And sometimes you sort of just stay, you don't get involved, you sort of stay off on the side, read discussion back and forth. That's called a lurk. So I lurk on what's in group called Women's Tefillah Network. Every so often I go in and get pounced and like that. So I don't get it. Anyway, so there was, and I'm also in correspondence with several readings or anything like that. I had a very interesting online discussion. In any case, the letters that you're going to read now actually came out within the last couple of weeks. They were, as you can see, the one letter was on the 8th, the 14th, the 9th. These are letters that just happened. And I'd like to read the letters with you because I think that they raise some interesting issues. The first letter is written by Yvonne Fine. Yvonne Fine is a journalist in Australia. A woman who identifies herself as a halakhic feminist. This letter that you read now is censored. I've taken out the stuff that really I found offensive. So, no, simply because I think wanted to get everything on four pages. I had to get something out. And it's not because I wanted to sanitize it for you. I didn't think that it was critical to the discussion. It was offensive because it made assumptions based on lack of knowledge. But the essence of her argument is clearly here. And let's read together. Laming, you should know, is a dangerous experience in Australia. Now, this is an article that she was actually published in the local Jewish newspaper. Laming, you should know, is a dangerous experience in Australia. I refer both to the practicing the art week after week, devoted to teacher and fellow students, and actually to standing before the Torah and reading from the parchment, pointing at the words with shape and figure, and reciting each syllable with its appropriate musical cantillation. To do this on the day, tightly encircled by women crowding the scroll, passionate to see, to be called to it and to be blessed in its presence and its name is at once terrifying, exhilarating, humbling, and as I say, dangerous. It is 4 years since the Simchat Torah when three of us first stood before a small congregation of women to read the scroll. At the time, this is talking about a woman in the Torah for Simchat Torah. At that time, neither my fellow layers nor I had mastered the truck. We simply called women up, facilitated the recital of the blessings, of course there's a very serious amount of problem with the Russian group of blessings, and proceeded to read the words in our everyday voices. Actually, our voices trembled, and we grappled panic-stricken with the hand-drawn letters that looked so terrifyingly different from our beloved and battered Kolossian from which we had so faithfully studied. The next year, we discovered the Tikkun Kohen, a handbook of instruction for readers. And the year after that, we divided up the five sections so that we could learn, almost by heart, the words. All those of you who are not acquainted with the Tikkun Kohen, essentially what has is many of those who have gone through a bar mitzvah with their kids and know exactly what I'm referring to. It's essentially one side has what is the Torah script, the other side has the dots and the notes, and so it's we sort of learn it by heart by looking back and forth. Anyway, that's called Tikkun Kohen. So by this year, we sought a teacher, a man gentle and mean in manner, who entrusted into our keeping the treasure of the truck. I heard the voices of my fellow laners give their own uniquely female sounds in their tradition. For the first time, I heard my own voice soar through the notes, flutter over consonants, she's very cool, shiver upon the vowels, and I knew that it was the first time in the tortured tradition of my survivor family, Chassidim on both sides before Auschwitz, that a woman had dared to raise her voice in public and sing to the glory of God. Why is Torah reading dangerous in Australia? Speaking now for myself, I say it is dangerous because it is a profoundly radicalizing experience. Perhaps those who oppose a woman's right to access ritual are right to be afraid. But they intuit one fraction of the power I experience when singing those notes and those words, they should tremble. What I realized as I learned and finally delivered the beauty of the Torah in song is that I am a Jew in a woman's body. That's the essence of this poem. I'm a Jew in a woman's body. The breath that fuels and feeds my body emerges in song. If I am forced to hide my body and my breath away, I am also being forced to deny, to be ashamed and scared of my very essence. I will not do it. She has a section here which is in the three dots. Every time in the three dots, I'm going to skip something. She rails against sneers. I don't know. Reading in song from the Torah is dangerous. Yes, for how can I know where it will finish? It is not given for me to know, but I do know from that quiet, fragile place inside me, which is the source of my breath and my womanhood, that I must continue to do it. All right. Essentially, it would seem that when she says, I'm a Jew in a woman's body, what is she doing? It's not really what she wants. I'm asking what's her life? And I don't mean to leave, this is not a discussion here. That's essentially what her religious philosophy is. There's one way to reach out to God. That's actually the male way to reach out. Right? And somehow the male establishment has prevented her from reaching out. They are oppressing her, and they are preventing her from reaching out to God. And her ability to read from the Torah is empowerment. Use the liberationist language. It's empowerment, which she finds exhilarating. And she says, you guys watch out. Because now that I feel the thrill of being empowered, I don't know what's going to end. Essentially, what she implies, to some extent, and this is problematic, is what she's expressing that she's really not halacha. Because halacha clearly sets lines of demarcation between men and women. Okay? The question is, what those lines are, what do those lines mean? But if there's certain things that the halacha says that you're exempted from and therefore cannot do, okay, and as we saw, things like minyan or mimotzi, the tzibur, stem from obligation, her essence, her saying that, essentially, I don't know where it's going to end, means the sky is the limit, is problematic. She doesn't know what her limits are. That's what she said. She doesn't know what's going to end up.
She's also talking about being too soon. The musical voice means it's,
She's doing that in front of women. Okay.
No. I'm not saying that the voice is the thing that, because the singing makes special moments. I can't understand
what you might learn something. Do you have my phone number in my office?
I think so.
Do you have my health number? It's 777-FSD. 777-099-050. It's on the shul list.
Yeah, 777-099, yeah, I have it.
So give me a call tomorrow.
And it's 531-8610-4.
Alright. Okay. Now, she's written a variety of things. This is, you're already reading one thing of hers, and as I said, I've taken out several sections, it makes it the impression milder. But, essentially, she views, she does view halachic Judaism as an expression of how one's to reach out to God, but the distinction between men and women bother her, and she's not interested in, she doesn't know where this experience, which she finds very exhilarating, is going to lead to. Okay? Turn the page. several, responses to this letter. One is by a gentleman by the name of Shale Fuller, my brother. And he writes as follows. Dear R, thanks for the two articles. The second article is the article by Rivka Lambert, which Levinson, which we'll read shortly. But anyway, thanks for the two articles. They're very interesting. As I read Ivan's article, I was thinking, I was taught that doing mitzvah meant getting closer to God and not necessarily doing something that gives me pleasure. But wanting to read the Torah seems very self-centered, at least the way she expresses it. Wanting to break the chains of male oppression. I wondered if her grandmothers, who were both Hasidic, as she said, were less pious, less committed, less religious, or fell farther away from God because they didn't read from the Torah and didn't put on the tefillin in the house. Who's at the center of our religious actions, God or us? Maybe the problem is not what we do, but how we relate to what we are doing. Now, I think that's very insightful. It's clear that that my brother Shale does not believe that there's only one way to reach out to God. In this percentage, some male way to reach out to God, which is what he promises you. And that you, that these women, her grandmothers, did not feel less religious because they didn't know their
sons.
That's correct. The question is religion and the question of the country. I mean, is what God expects of us, or how we reach out to God? I think the question that I asked you, one could very well say, yeah, maybe it doesn't. I mean, maybe if religion is a question, or my getting close to the country local is a question of my personal needs. Let's say one time family I have a certain set of needs, another family I'm not a certain needs. That would come up as a little bit. Is halacha about my needs? Is halacha about my needs, or is halacha about what God demands of us? Now, if you take Shaul Leibowitz, for instance, he says, you don't count. Right? What you feel, what you get, it's irrelevant. God commanded you, you've got to respond to that command. That's one extreme. Other extreme is a Hasidic answer, which talks about the vagueness, talks about the spiritual experience, talks about karbana. These things are very important. So I don't think it's all or nothing, right? I think Ivan is into the experience, right? Where it leads, she doesn't know. Or do I say, I'm not obligated, but I'm going to push the envelope to do it even though I'm not obligated, right? Because that gives me a spiritual high. And that's the point. I mean, everything you talk about a cow, that's talking about getting high and dominant, right? Now, Brisker's Papa would say, how about maybe it was a waste of time? Right? Because you should show your covenant God by spending that extra 25 minutes learning. Do your obligation of dominating and spend the 25 minutes learning. You don't have to meet, others would say, but I can't get into the dominating. I can understand that within my obligations, my emotions definitely play a role. The question is, Yvonne is talking about doing things that she's not obligated to. She's talking about the high she gets from Kriya Satora. Right? And that is supposed to permit pushing the envelope more than the halacha per se is normally ordained. I thought to myself, did I really like that? Now I remember that my motives in wanting to organize the women's Megillah reading weren't so pure. I write that I and some other women, for various reasons, can't make it to the regular Megillah reading in shul because we were busy taking care of small children, etc. In reality, we could have gone to one of the many later in the night Megillah readings by men for women who were busy with small children. So I think one of the reasons in the etc. was subconscious talisman, a term that lately I use when thinking about these issues. I don't mean it pejoratively, and I apply it to my own motives when I was a feminist. Talisman means what? That she's envious that the men have something that she'd like to do, and she wants to do it because men do and women don't do it. Perhaps another factor is wanting to feel greater participation. Coming from a non-observant background, It took me a long time to understand that participation can be very active, but look passive to the outsider, to outsiders. I see that here among the Hasidic women in Kiryat Sanz, you feel totally involved as leading participants in a cosmic enterprise, even though most do not attend public tefillah regularly, etc. But there is probably a much higher percentage of women who daven every morning and every Rosh Chodesh in privacy than in modern Orthodox segment of the population. Sincerely, Shira Shrek. Now, this is clearly a woman who... There are two ways to reach God. There's a man's way to reach God, there's a woman's way to reach God. There's no problem with either. And they're both involved in doing what Hashem wants of them, and she has no problem. And she doesn't feel that... I think she has put a finger on a very important point. That a lot of the feminism stems from the fact that in the regular prayer service in the Orthodox synagogue, women are going to be passive. There's any doubt about that. Now, there are a lot of reasons why that's so, because women are not obligated to prayer, and as a result, they can't be chazaniyot, and they can't have done that for minyan, and a variety of other reasons which stem from obligation, and they don't have to be there. And that will lead to all sorts of, yes?
She said women are willing to be passive. Women are asked to kind of be passive.
I didn't say that. I said they are passive.
They are
active.
It's
up to
me.
In my own struggle to balance the aspects of a Torah life that I love and there are many, but the forces of Torah life that diminish me, and there aren't many, I refuse to accept the notion that Jewish women, however we observe our Judaism, are less entitled to be considered Jewish than Jewish men. To state the obvious, Jewish women are also Jews. I trust that Ivan wasn't promoting the notion that the only real Jews are men, as much as reflecting the way it sometimes feels. When I teach about these matters, I always mention that I believe that non-Orthodox feminists have erred in deputizing women to be, in effect, Jewish men, by eliminating the barriers of public prayer. To my mind, this solution simply perpetuates the notion that masculine forms of religious expression are the real Jews. Frieda Birnbaum, who it sometimes has the capacity of remembering everything, will hopefully help me reconstruct a conversation that took place on this list that could have been called Isham Abuse. Someone once posed the question, why do we as women pursue an enduring emphasis on access to Sefer Torah, Talmud, and Tefillin? She was answered by someone saying that these items are the sanctity of Judaism. That has always troubled me. Although I can see without any effort at all how it can seem that way, I wonder whether we are dealing with a mirage. Why would God make nearness to a Sefer Torah the ultimate supreme spiritual high and then deny women access? Could it be that the underlying premise was wrong? Every time the Sefer Torah passes near me in shul on its way to or from the Aron Kodesh, I cry because I am so moved. And every time I am, by the way, I never understood why she cries. And every time I am in a service where it doesn't come anywhere near me, I also cry because I feel so excluded. A deep but honest question is, do I cry because I am on a spiritual level to perceive the holiness of the Sefer Torah? Or do I cry because I feel excluded and I'm so grateful to be included sometimes? Even more painful to consider is our longing intensified by the fact that we only get access when a man says it's okay? If every Orthodox woman everywhere had as much access to the Sefer Torah as Orthodox men do, how long would it take for us women to stop crying and shaking when we get near a Sefer Torah? A few months? A few years? Sometimes I feel that our discussion here leans toward the error of longing for what God gave men while ignoring the need to search out what God gave women. This is another expression of policy. You know, that you learn meaning, you long before God gave men. There is so much attention to communal prayer, granted that is what this list, what the list is for. This is women's prayer group. This is the women's tefillah network. We rarely talk about other ways to grow in Torah. I wonder whether we are so focused on public prayer and all the pain it engenders, whether fighting for our tefillah groups or dealing with the insensitivities of regular minyanim to the exclusion of other experiences of growing spiritually, that we have missed something very important. I work so hard to construct a Judaism that carves out uniquely feminine space. But am I kidding myself? I wonder that all the time. I really want to believe that there are two paths to God, and that the male pathway, especially mixed gender public prayer, is not designed to meet the spiritual needs of women. I want to grow in ways that God desires, in ways that God prepared for me, in ways that are more natural to me as a woman. These ways are much more subtle and fraught with difficulties because we live in a world that valorizes the male pathways and doesn't know, nurture, or honor the female ones. Knowing, nurturing, and honoring female pathways to God is very, very difficult. It is very scary to me to think that I might be wrong about this notion that real Judaism includes both female and male ritual and spiritual pathways. It scares me to think, after all, God really prefers to be honored in the way that men pray. For now, I can't accept that God made one style of prayer truly supreme and then told women we cannot, must not, should not. Just contemplating that makes my head feel like a photo. There must be another solution. I think that's a beautiful one. I think that this is a woman who has tremendous feminist sensitivity. The other man feels that that God's demands on women or God's demands on men are unique for that sector, and therefore each one can reach God in their own particular way. And then a male way of serving God is not the only way of serving God. Let me just give you an analogy which I sometimes use, because I think I personally think that she's very much right. It's like the question of, do I, as a Yisrael, am I any less close to God because I don't serve the Kohen? Am I less Jewish if I'm less reaching close to God? I mean, maybe if there is role playing in Judaism, if the Kohen Gadol, I mean, the truth is, God doesn't want me to be a Kohen. He doesn't want me to function as a Kohen. He doesn't want a Kohen to function as Israel. I mean, there is a certain amount of role playing. I don't think that I feel less important because I'm Israel than I'm a Kohen. And I think that in many ways, the same thing about male and female roles, right? In the sense that God gave the woman a particular role with a great deal of flexibility or, you know, different type of obligations which you can devote, at least halachically preferably, towards your family. And a male was a much more specific role with much less flexibility for the way the male is supposed to reach out to God. And that they are equal in their both their kedusha and their ability to reach out to God. Doesn't make one better than the other.
She can help her mother.
She got her mother. I mean, so he's saying something. So I would say, so she works for herself. But I'm saying,
that's not what the
book is. I don't feel a spot. I think that the Gemara is expressing the fact that there are two roles, and both get schooled. Both get the schut of learning in Torah, one by learning Torah, one by willingly supporting that learning. So I think that it in fact says that there is a parallel knowledge. Okay? There is a parallel knowledge. And that was under a system where women didn't learn. In our modern system, women do learn Torah, and when she gets to the Torah herself. But the questions are good, but we're gonna spend some time talking about women's Nibra Torah and how that whole situation evolved and changed. So let me try to think about the question and hopefully give you a more convincing answer to it.
No, that's your answer.
I finished.
No,
I'll
let you
give me
an answer to the question.
Oh, but you may have to wait. All right. I just brought this up because I thought it was an interesting thing to take. I think it's something that we have to think about. I think the question is there only one way to reach out, or many ways to reach out to God, are questions that we have to answer. I'm convinced that there are many ways to reach out. It's not just one way. But I think it's something for that. All right. The mitzvah of Shira can write. she'ira v'shira in a pit. And whoever's not obligated cannot pray. Now, some of these things are biblical. Now, for instance, you think about a min or a muma, right? I mean, they're actually obligated for not falling, right? They're obligated for not falling, but they don't believe it's falling. Okay, so that's there are in this the Torah clearly is ruling out ukshartem, those who are obligated, but it was expanded by the halacha to include all those people who don't believe in that. So shomunim or masuramim and masur and oved kochavim and oved kochavim is not obligated. And that's not obligated. Isha is not obligated. Kut is not obligated. Akuti doesn't believe in it. Istamuka doesn't believe in it. Okay. Kol sheyesh lebikshira yesh lebiktiva, v'kol she'en lebikshira ein lebiktiva. So this is the source. A woman that writing Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzot. Because what you have here is that those who are obligated to put on Tefillin can write Mezuzot, which is a piece of the Sefer Torah. And the Gemara learns Kshiyat Tivat also to Tefillin and also to Mezuzot. And if one portion of the Sefer Torah can't be written, so that the whole Sefer Torah can't be written, so that's halacha. Women can't write a Sefer Torah for the Mezuzot because they're exempted from. Excellent. That's the question we're going to do next. What about a Megillah? Women to Megillah. If you look at the second page. If you were Isha Bishiva Megillah, so you would anticipate it. But we're going to talk about that. What?
Pasuk. Not because women aren't hiding down the Zubah.
No, they are hiding.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yes.
It seems contradictory, but it's because of the
The pasuk compares ukshat and uktavka. Right, because they're all studying the same pasuk. Okay, now, what does this prevent women from doing? This hekesh, ukshat and uktavka, is it limited to ukshat and uktavka? Can a labor, can a woman make it for them? You know, the tefillin has to have the or has to be worked. And on the Sefer Torah, you need a sirtut, right? Get the lines on the Sefer Torah. And you got to stitch up can a woman do that? What is this verse, ukshavta, what is this delimitation from ukhtavta? How much does it exclude women? What does it exclude from? Does it say, well, I'm sorry, women are excluded from anything since they're just like they can't write, they can't do anything, right? Or does it mean, no, only the writing is excluded, but everything else is perfectly all right. Now, what are the precedents? Because that's all the Gemara says, and Shaftim Chafim, that's all it says. So we now have to start culling the literature to answer a particular question. That's one piece of evidence comes from source number three, so Gemara and the Sukkah. We know that a woman is not obligated to sit in the sun. Because it's a mitzvah to say she's like, I'm not. Can she make a sukkah? So that's what the Gemara says. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbi's talk. Ganbach. Okay, Ganbach is in the mind. Ganbach. What is Ganbach? Gimel stands for Sukkat Goyim. Sukkat Nashim, that's the new. Sukkat Behima. Built by an animal. The animal is making a lair or something, a nest or something to hide her cubs in. Sukkat Kutim. Okay. That's the chaf. Sukkat Kutim means it was made by the non-Jew. Sukkah Mikomakum or some other sukkah. Now the Gemara asks, what do we need some other sukkah? Let's not go into that. Ksheira. It's kosher. The Blavat Sheikh Mesuchet Kalaka provided. The schach is put on properly. Moses says, what do you mean? Michael Kata, Amarav Chizda, Vavusha Asa'a, that sailed Sukkah. The schach was made, that when they put on the schach, it was put on for shade. The essence of the sukkah is the schach, and the schach is put on for shade. So here we see that a sukkah made by women would be by non-Jews. I mean, can is perfectly all right. The fact that a woman is not in the midst of sukkah doesn't mean she can't make a sukkah that even a man can sit. Right? Okay, so that pshat the muktafen was limited to what? Only writing, not to anything else. Okay, so Tosfot Masechet Kitin writes as follows: Kol sheyeshno b'kshira, yeshno b'ktiva. Anybody who's involved in the time and the obligation of tefillin can write. We can't omer Rabbeinu Tam. From this, Rabbeinu Tam said, "De'ein isha ogedet lulav." And a woman can't tie up the lulav, put all the other meaning together. Va'oset tzitzit, nor can she make tzitzit, nor can she put the fourth, you know, the beged of the talit. It has a hole in it, and once you stick through, you have four threads, which you stick through a hole, and then it comes down, and you now have eight. So it's like four that become eight strings, and then you make a knot. That first knot is biblical. First knot, and then there is a whole bunch of other stuff that comes afterward, which is all custom. Okay? So a woman can't, but oh, since it can't, nor can she make the knots and the tzitzit. The what? What's that like? Well, if you hang in there, lady, you'll learn it. Even the lo mifkira, because she's not obligated. So that's the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Says Tosfot Ve'eino Nireh. I don't agree with Tosfot. It doesn't seem to me. Since the verse says in the Parsha Tzitzit, uses the term B'nai Yisrael, and the Gemara says that this term B'nai Yisrael comes to exclude non-Jews, Mechlau D'Ishak Shira. So you see from the implication of the Gemara that the term B'nai Yisrael excludes non-Jews, and clearly women are included, that they can make Tzitzit too. V'amrina Nami, we also say Sukkat Ganvach Shira. We also know a woman, even though she's excluded from sukkah, she can make a sukkah, the perek of a sukkah. The dafka b'sefer Torah, tefillin mezuzot, the ktiv ukshat muktaftem, darshina hafi. But only by sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzot, where there's a special verse, ukshat muktaftem, do we say that women cannot write. Okay? Cannot write. Now, we're still... Okay, you guys here with me? Hello? So, now what we see is that from Ukshatim Ukhtaftim, Sefer Yivat, Sefer Torah, Tfilin, and Zuzot, but other things which don't have the Ukshatim Ukhtaftim, there's a better time wants to learn in this Hekesh, Ukshatim Ukhtaftim, that if you are excluded from this mitzvah, you have no relationship to this mitzvah at all. Which means, if you're excluded from Sukkah, if you're not operating at the mem, you can't make a sukkah. If you're not operating at tzitzis, you can't make tzitzis. You can't put on tzitzis. Tosfos says no, that this ukshatim uktaftim is only by sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah. That those are not, cannot tie, cannot write. But when it comes to what? When it comes to mezuzah, actually, when it comes to tzitzit or sukkah, where there isn't this ekesh, women can do it. They do it all. Now, there's a problem. Even according to this leaning view, okay, right, that says it's only limited to, does it exclude everything for women, or does it only exclude writing from women? We still have, okay? Then we, so Tosfos seems to break it into two categories. Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, from Pshat, and Muktafen, where we see that the writing and the obligation come together. The question is, does that exclude everything, or just writing? Just, that's all this conveys, yes. Yes, mezuzah is a problem. Hold on. Yes. Five. Okay, now let's read the Mordechai. The Mordechai is, again, he's in the 1300s, end of the 1300s, and he writes as follows. V'chein minach shenashim osot tzitzit. The custom is that women make tzitzit. Well, just hold it. Try to remember that the 1500s were still pretty liberal.
It also means they spun the wool and they...
Yeah, well, you'll see that everybody says that. Because that's making the thread, that's not making the tzitzit, that's making the knot. וכן המינה של נשים עושות ציצית. ומי הוא? מצאתי שמהר"ם מרוטנברג הקפיד שלא להניח נשים לעשות לפי שמי שפטור מן הדבר אינו פוטר אחרים. If you're freed from an obligation, you can't help others fulfill their obligation. And since the obligation is to put tzitzit on the bagging, if you're not obligation, you're not obligated, how can you fulfill by putting tzitzit on the bagging? Essentially what he's saying, it's a man's obligation, he's got to put the tzitzit on the bagging. Okay? Gemira li, da'ainu l'chafilah. That seems to me it's only l'chafilah. It is Marami Rutenberg was only choshesh for the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Why? Zimlokein tikshir v'sikat gan bach tikshir. What are you going to do with Sukkot Gan Bach? Right? We said explicitly that women are not obligated to Sukkot, but they can build a Sukkot. So what do you mean? What do you mean that a woman can't put on a Sukkot? So then we have this tension back and forth. We have the view of Rabbeinu Tam, that if you cannot obligate in a mitzvah, you're essentially out of that mitzvah. You can't do anything. And the other view of the Tosfot says, no. The Chadim of Tachim is a specific Zekish, which deals with the writing of the Sefer Torah for the mitzvah. But any other time, just because you're excluded from a mitzvah, doesn't mean that you can't build a sukkah, put on the tzitzit. That's a good Shulchan Aruch, yes. Let's look at all the Shulchan Aruch, source number six. Tefillin, shekatav, eved, o isha, o kutan, afilu gil lechinuch, o kuti, o mumar, lavodat elohim, o musar, lanafim, psulim. A woman who writes, that's what we should hear. A woman who writes tefillin, the tefillin of psulim, mishum dechtiv ukshavtem uktavtem. Kol sheino b'kshira o eino mamim. Ba? Anybody who's not obligated or doesn't believe in the mitzvah, eino b'chtiva. About that there's no makom. Let's look at source number seven. Tzitzit. She'asa'an eino yehudi pasul. Dechtiv daver lebnei Yisrael. That's the beginning part of Vayomer. Lafukei eino yehudi. Vaisha kshera lasukan. So Yosef Karo clearly says that women can make tzitzit. Rav Moshe is Ramo. Hagah, this is the view of the Ashkenazic view. V'yesh machmirin latzrich anashim shiasi otam. And there are those who are stringent to require women to do it. V'tov lasot Kein l'chatkila. One should be stringent l'chatkila. What does that mean? It should be stringent. But if a woman had made it's kosher. And b'diavad it's kosher. The Ramah says it's proper to be strict because Rabbeinu Tam was one of the pillars of Pesach, had a dissenting view. And it's true the halacha seems to not be like him. And you'll see when we get down to in the Aruch HaShulchan, he's even much stronger in his liberal stance. But he holds that we see that l'chatkila you should be mocked. Okay. Now, Mishnah Brura on this verse says she yasilotan dafka hatliya babegit. That's referring only to putting the chutim in the hole and making the first knot. Aval atviyah v'shizirah, making the threads for the tzitzit and weaving it together to get a strand, mutar yidin ha-shemit al-bayim. Okay. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan. Yeruch HaShem, source number 9. V'afel gav. Okay, you with me? V'afel gav nashim eino mitzvot b'tzitzit mikol makom, ma b'chach? D'dafka b'tfilin, only by tfilin, זה גזרה תורה הוקשה אתם הוכתבתם, כמו שיש לו בקשירה, יש לו בכתיבה, that only by tefillin do we learn out, and therefore by, from tefillin we learn out to mezuzah and sefer Torah, that there's a special rule that women can't write. ולא בציצית, ולא בציצית. וגם לא שייך לומר כל הפטור מן הדבר אינו פוטר אחר. And also improper to say that because you're patur from something, therefore you can't help others fulfill their obligation in that mitzvah as far as making a sukkah or doing tzitzit. Dezeo b'mitzvah shemotzi ota siyato. When is that true? When is it true that if I'm free, I can help you? That's if I'm going to do the mitzvah for you. Right? If I'm patur from blowing shofar, I can't blow shofar. A woman can't blow shofar for me. If I'm patur from, let's say, a child who's patur from kiddush can't make kiddush for his mother. Why? Because he's really halakhically patur, and he can't be motzi his mother, who's chayavet medoraita. But when I put the tzitzit on the begin, I put tzitzit on the begin. Am I doing a mitzvah? Think about it. The mitzvah is, if I wear a four-cornered garment, to have the tzitzit on the thing. The tzitzit is to wear the tzitzit, not to put on the tzitzit. Right? The sukkah, the mitzvah is to dwell in this. I'm not doing any mitzvah. I'm building the sukkah. Am I doing it? Is there a mitzvah to build the sukkah? Am I being motzi you because I built the sukkah? No. What? Tzitzit al arbaket on the dam. So when you put on the garment,
the doing is also
if the garment is sitting on the floor, the garment is sitting in the drawer, and I put, I'm not doing any mitzvah. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not doing a mitzvah for anybody.
No, I mean, but
that's not how the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is al arbaket on the dam when they're wearing the garment. That is, you can't wear the garment unless it has tzitzit on it. Putting the tzitzit is not the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is wearing a four-cornered garment with tzitzit on it. So when that man puts on the four-cornered garment with that tzitzit on it, then he's doing a mitzvah. But a woman putting on the tzitzit is not doing a mitzvah for her. She's not faltering in any mitzvah. She didn't do any mitzvah.
Whereas with
no, that has nothing to do with it. It's ukshat and uktat. That's exactly the point. That's the point. No, see, Rabbeinu Tam wanted to learn. What does Ukshat and Uchtaftan teach me? That if you're not involved in this mitzvah, you're excluded from that mitzvah. I mean, you have no relationship to that mitzvah. There's nothing you can do with real mitzvah. The consensus of Tosafot says no, because it's Gan Bach, there's a sukkah in Nashim. We know that a woman can make a sukkah. Perfectly kosher. So that shows that she's not excluded from the mitzvah. She can prepare the mitzvah. But she goes, hey, so that's what he's saying here, the fourth line in the Rosh Hashanah. And then extend the middle of the third. V'gam lo shayach lomar kol ha-patur min ha-davar, fourth line. Eino poter acherim. Dezer b'mitzvah shemotzio v'asiyato kigom kidosh v'abdala chiyotzi b'zer. Amo b'tzitzit ha-mitzvah hi ha-levisha. U'mikom v'kom, nevertheless, yesh migdolei rishonim, there are those of the scholars, he's referring to Rabbeinu Tam, shechashishu v'tamim eilu, ופסלו אישה מלטיל ציצית בטלית, but there are those who said, well, maybe Rabbeinu Tam is right. וזהו שכתב רבינו הרמה, דייש מחמירים, there are those who are stringent, להצריך אנשים שיעשו אותו, the men should make put the ציצית in, וטוב לעשות כן, it's proper, let's understand, let's listen to the language of the Ramah. וטוב לעשות כן, it's good, it's proper to do that way, ab initio, initially. Okay, that's a very weak way. That's what the Ocha Shechon says. Ad Anishona. Kona du chum rabam. Simple scriptures. I'm trying to cover all bases. Vayikar ledina shemutarot that a woman can make tzitzit. Okay? Yeah, let's stop it. Okay, now, I should point out to you that when I first came to Israel, I wasn't completely sensitive to all this issue, and I was told that there are many Svarni tzitzit factories in Israel, where the women were sitting there making tzitzit. Okay, And that it was very common, and therefore they told me that I should go ahead and buy mitzvahs only from Ashkenazis. So the Rambam says l'chatkila, but as you can see here, l'chatkila you should be makra, but with the yavad, there's no problem. Okay. Second source number 10. This is now, Aruch HaShulchan, Siman Lamed deals with the writing of tefillin. V'chol eilu, k'moshe psulin l'ktivat ha'parshiyot, k'moche psulin l'asot ha'batim. Just as a woman is forbidden from writing the parshiyot, k'moche psulin l'asot ha'batim. She's also forbidden, it says psulin is referring to l'kutin ha'muma and all those that are forbidden. That's why it's a male. Asiyat ha'batim, to make the batim, והרצועות ולתפילתן. אך ליבוד קשרים to work the leather, that's all right. וכן אם גרו בין אות לאות, if they scratched out the excess ink between the letters, לא חשינו לזה, we don't worry about that, we don't consider that writing. וכן לתפילת ספר תורה, even to stitch up the יריות of the ספר תורה, יש מכשירים those who permit it. V'ayin v'yavadeus in v'esha en chetzi. You're allowed to see in Yeridea, we're going to read that in a second. Shenveinu misha oset tfilat nashim, that those who are stringent, not even that woman, stitch up the yiriot, the different columns of the Sefer Torah. V'anachme be'arnu sham lehete. And we say it's permitted. L'fima shebe'arnu sham gam betfilot ubetzuot shirot, that the sewing and the tzuot shirot. V'rak bebatim tzuvim. The only thing the woman can't do, says the Aruch HaShulchan, is to make the batim, mipnei sheyesh lehem shin, da'avik b'chiva. The Aruch HaShulchan is extremely lenient. He says the woman can make almost anything. They make the whole tefillin. The tzuot, and they can work on the sewing up the tefillin. The only thing they can't do is make the batim. He says, why? Because there's a shin on the batim. If you look at a tefillin shel rosh, there's a shin on the bayit itself, and that's like writing, because the wrist sticks out. I wonder what he holds about the tshliyah. The tshliyah doesn't have anything on it, but maybe. But he's pretty lenient. I should point out that the custom is not that way. Right? But he is pretty lenient. But it's, yeah. You answer. So answer. What was the problem with Gufnaki? He was wearing it, but not touching it. Ah, because when you wear something, it becomes one with you. It becomes batel to you. You become united with the sefer halachically. That's what it's called. There's a din, a dinei tum'ah, which stem from wearing clothing. If I touch the clothing, it don't become. They don't become one. But if I wear the clothing, the clothing thing is part of me, and they become tamei, because they're one with me, and I'm tamei. Okay? And that's why it's not touching the sefer Torah, kissing the sefer Torah. Right? No one raised it's not the touching of the sefer or kissing the mezuzah or anything. It's wearing the tefillin, becoming one with the tefillin. Okay, let's read section 11. Section 11, the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, I should point out to you that there was a long-standing custom that in a writing of a Sefer Torah, they used to write yiriot, they used to write the different parchments, you know, Sefer Torah is made up of parchments that are large parchments which are then stitched together. It seems it was a very widespread custom in many communities that the writing, the last letters were done by the men, and the women did all the stitching up of it. So they too were very much involved in the Ketivat Sefer Torah, the writing of the Sefer Torah, because they did all the stitching. Okay. That's Yeshna Gdolim. Those are the scholars. She'asru tfirat nashim b'sefer Torah. Dekivan ha'Torah pasla ketivatah. Since the Torah said that women couldn't write a Sefer Torah, okay, kol tikunei sefer Torah, all those which are inherent, obligatory things that must be done in a Sefer Torah, that or the same letters like kosher. Sulim bin Hashim are also possible by Rav, not just the writing. But Tfirah Makepet, and Tfirah is one of the things that the Sefer Torah must be stitched up. The Raya Lazem mit Tfilin. She nidba'er bo'ochayim Sulatet. The Raya proof is from Tfilin. Because it's written in the Shulchan Aruch or Chaim Siman Lamed, which deals with Tfilin. Shepsulot b'chol tikunei asiyatan. That women are free from many of the things that are involved in the writing of Tfilin. V'achi nami b'sefer Torah, the same truth is in Sefer Torah. There's a proof to the contrary. Me'arambam the perak aleph, the inyan ktiva, kalal sefer Torah tefillin umezuzot, she'isha psulam imzeret hakatuv. That when it comes to writing, the Rambam excluded women from writing a sefer Torah tefillin umezuzot. That's in Perak Aleph of Hilchot Sefer Torah. Well, Perak Gimel Din Ben Zayin, but in the third chapter, Katav, the Rambam wrote, Linyan by Tfilin, Ein Osin at Tfilin Ele Yisrael Shasiyatan Kiktivatan, Bepnei Hashim Shosin Vo'o, Beficha Im Chipan Hakuti, O Tafran Psulot, Vuhu Ladin Lechol Hapsul, Hapasul Lekotvam, So the Rambam says that anybody who's possible to write a tefillin can also not make the batim, make the housing of the tefillin. You see, the Rambam explicitly ruled out the batim because of the making of the shin, sheba batim. Vilulei Hashem, if it were not for the shin and the batim, which is like writing, hayu mutarim basiyatan. Who Sefer Torah, the lekashin, and in the stitching of the Sefer Torah, which is not a writing action, it's a stitching up of the parchment, the lekashin mutarim b'tfilatan, women can stitch them up. L'chein lo iskir din zeh rak b'tfilin, therefore the problem of making tefillin or making the parchment is only written by tefillin. Let's get down to Yudbet. Ubikar ha-davar lo avin. I don't understand. So there's a fundamental problem I don't understand. דעתו התורה פסלה כתיבה על נשים רק משום שאינה במצוות הוקשרתם? Were women excluded from writing the Sefer Torah because they're not in the mitzvah of Sefer Torah? והרי מזוזה שנשים חייבות, after all, when it comes to מזוזה, women are obligated. ואם כל זה, and nevertheless, פסולה בכתיבתה. A woman, so it has nothing to do with being obligated in the writing, in the putting up of the mezuzah. And examine the ketubi, if the Torah, for whatever reason, excluded women from the writing. V'achi kama, and this is what the Torah told us. Kol she'eno b'ukshatim, eno b'ukhtatim. If you're not in the tying up a film, you can't write. Kol b'shum ktiva, with any writing. Abo shalei dinonim, and things other than writing. Even if she's not obligated, so Yoruch HaShulchan holds the only thing which was excluded is writing, or making the batim, because the batim has writing on it. But anything else the woman can do. Okay? A woman can put a tzitzit on the garment, kamosha ketubu rochayim in sunyitalim. Ubelulav, ena chayevet umuteret legol. She can also tie up make put together the lulav, as written in Siman Tafresh Montet. Velachin utzrach harambam leveeretam apsul basiyat abatim shel tefillin bepnei shel. That's why the Rambam had to go to such length to say the reason why women can't make the housing of the tefillin is because of the shin on the tie, on the housing of the tefillin. כלומר, זהו נכלל גם כן בכלל כתיבה. אבל בשערי דברים פשיטה שקשרה לעשות. ואנו רואים מנהג ישראל שנשים תופרות הספר תורה. We see that it seems that women have the happy custom of writing the Sefer Torah, of sewing up the Sefer Torah, ושמחים במצוות, rejoice in that mitzvah, u'minag Yisrael Torahi, and this custom is has the standing of law, ve'in shum makom v'din l'mnoa l'monam yizeh, and there's no right, in, there's no place in law to prevent them from doing it, v'nachat ruach l'em, and it makes them happy, v'chein ikar l'din adam yedet, and that seems to be, that's the essential view. Now, if you think that that stopped people from saying the woman shouldn't do it, you can guess again. But there are many, many communities in which women did do it. I would say that the party line is that women nowadays, the women don't do it. We'll see that. If you want to look, just look quickly at 12, and then I know I'm a little late. I'm just, as we just sort of finish this up here. Isha, Sula, Lechtov, Sefer Torah, Sula, Mezuza. Now skip down to Vav, second check, right? This is from Halichot Beita. It's an outstanding book written by Rav Dovid Arbach, a woman of Allah. So you write Vav. Yesh la'achmir, shisha lo tikfo yiriyot ha-sefer Torah, ubidiyever im tafran, if they did stitch it up, ve'efsha bekalut la'tiram ve'lachzor le'tafran, and you can quickly unstitch it and have a man stitch it, le'tafran ha'yidei ish. Tzarech la'asod, you should do kei to cover all bases. וכשאין הדבר אפשרי, it's not possible, אין זה מכן, you rely on the new view. And in the footnote, he cites the Aruch HaShulchan, who you know, waves the flag and says, well, we can do it, there's no problem. Then he says, זה מה יש, he says, that, yes.
Well,
he says,
it's not just to say that women
shouldn't
do it, he's saying that it does something to
the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is not done properly, it may not be kosher, but the fact of the matter is, the bottom line is that the halacha is that it's kosher. And again, while because of Rabbi Nachman, you have to understand Rabbi Nachman was one of the major pillars of Pesach. And while he has his position, and the majority of postmen seem to disagree, they were kosher, they worried about it. But the diavad, the halacha is clear. A woman could make tzitzis, a woman could stitch up the riyot, a woman could make a sukkah, a woman could put the levanesser. The exclusion was only for the writing shot of the Pesach. Okay, there's one more point that I want to talk about, and then we'll talk about women and the Megillah. God willing, since we're moving closely, since we started Megillah, maybe we'll finish it before. All right. And then we'll talk about the next issue that I'd like to pick up on about is women and all this. We don't have to take up it. Women getting on the yoke. Well,
okay.
When I did the first sign, oh, I should stop it.